Good morning and a very warm welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And today we will be looking at the lectionary scriptures for the day. Reverend Rosemary will be joining us, sharing her reflections and reading those scriptures to us. And so to get the ball rolling, we're going to start with her reading to us Psalm 46.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Regarding Psalm 46, E. Glenny in his book writes the following reflection. God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Verse 1. This psalm was my mother's favourite, as I reflect upon why the psalm had a special place in her life and heart. I would suggest for the following three reasons. 1. God is an ever-present help in trouble, verse 1. 2. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress, verse 7. And 3. Be still and know that I am God, verse 10. 1. God is an ever-present help in trouble. Although I am not a Hebrew scholar, I understand that the word troubled means pressed in. You know how it is when you experience pressure from all sides. In today's language, we sometimes say someone is between a rock and a hard place. In such situations, who can we turn to but the one on whom we can depend? This first verse is very reassuring, as it tells us that God can be depended upon. He is not just someone who may possibly be of help, but is an ever-present help in trouble. Because God is an ever-present help, the outcome is, therefore, we will not fear. The psalmist knew what it was to be in a tight corner and to be really up against it, but he put his trust in the Lord to be with him. In another psalm, the psalmist declares, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. I know from my mother's life that she put her trust in the Lord and maintained a steady relationship day by day. 2. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. When Martin Luther was facing opposition, he drew upon this psalm and wrote the fine hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." He envisaged the strength of God as a never-failing bulwark, and in verse 3 writes, "We will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us." It is also of note that in this verse, reference is made to Jacob, who also found refuge in God. In Genesis 28 and verse 15, there is the promise to Jacob, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. We are therefore encouraged to place our trust and confidence firmly in God, whatever the trouble. Indeed, Psalm 126 verse 1 proclaims this message, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. And the third point, be still and know that I am God. There can be times in one's life, even though we have sought to put our trust in the Lord, when it seems as if God is not present, and we may feel as if we are very much on our own. How then are we going to respond? When Auschwitz was liberated at the end of World War II, these words were found written on one of the walls. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I am alone. I believe in God, even when he is silent. Here, surely, we have found words of faith and deep trust when in human terms it would be very understandable to feel abandoned. We are not immune from problems and trials in life, nor from the evils and disasters of this world. We have the challenge to seek the Lord's peace in our hearts and in the midst of trouble. The Quaker hymn writer John Greenleaf Whittier, in his hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, writes, drop thy still dews of quietness, till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the stress and strain, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. May we know the beauty of the peace of God within our hearts day by day. And a short prayer. Lord God, help me put my trust in you, whatever the situation may be, knowing that you promise to be my refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Amen. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And today we have Reverend Rosemary with us sharing the lectionary readings for today, and will be sharing a reflection with us later on. Also today we are joined by Joe, who has shared little bits with us on times past, and today he is sharing a little talk with us that he has called The Sin of Alcoholism. Now this is his personal story about how it was that he suffered from alcohol and the impact that it had on his life. Maybe you're someone and you have been affected by alcohol, either being the one who is imbibed too much or the one who's been the recipient at the end of the person who has gone and wasted maybe the money or become violent or whatever due to alcohol. Joe's message is very simple. At the end of it, he goes and shares about how it is that we can have hope in God and what God can do. But here's his story. This is Joe speaking to us on the sin of alcoholism.
Hello. The name of this message is The Sin of Alcoholism. Proverbs 20 verse 1 reads, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by them is not wise. 1 Timothy 3 describes a qualification to be an elder as one who is not addicted to much wine. 1 Timothy 5 verse 23 reads, a little wine is good for your stomach and frequent illnesses. Ephesians 5:18 reads, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. 22 years ago, the Lord delivered me from alcoholism. Although I never became a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, some of its people were influential. To this day, I discuss the matter of recovery and abstention with some of them. I remember one pastor saying that in all of his years, he's never seen anything to open up a person to the demonic like alcoholism does. All sin is sin and hinders our relationship with God. However, some sins have greater impact in our lives. We could say that overeating is a sin, but you can safely drive a car and not be prosecuted for driving after eating. I've yet to hear of anyone getting involved in a punch-up on the street as a result of eating too much. Alcoholism can lead us into so many other areas of sin. Our judgment gets impaired. If we have had too much to drink, we can lose money, we can stumble off a pavement and fall, talk gibberish and betray confidence and black out. Even when a problem drinker is stone cold sober, his temperament is affected. He's short-fused, easily agitated, anxious, edgy, impatient, given to bursts of rage and very unreasonable. Alcoholics are usually terribly manipulative. The alco is the one with the problem, but he will always deflect when confronted. Apart from the obvious dangers of liver failure, I honestly believe that excessive drinking over a prolonged time actually kills off brain cells. One's personality and maturity is affected. Someone who develops a drinking habit at, say, 17 years of age will remain 17. Hence, I have seen people in their 50s and 60s who still act like teenagers. The Lord delivered me from this evil in September 2000. I heard one AA member say that when she quit alcoholism, she discovered several other isms. I concur. When the Lord sobered me up, the road was clear for healing in an abundance of emotional issues. Rejection, anger, worry, anxiety, and a tendency to be confrontational. What I say now is that if there's hope for me, then there's hope for anyone. If anyone listening to this message is struggling with the habit and the guilt that goes with it, remember what Psalm 34 verse 19 says. The righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all.
Jeremiah chapter 23 verses 1 to 6. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And today, Reverend Rosemary is joining with us, reading the lectionary readings for this Sunday and sharing our reflection at the end. We've also heard from Joe sharing from his experience in needing God to overcome the hold of alcohol on his life and how God is the one who sets us free. We were then looking at that passage of scripture where the Lord Jesus is the one who comes in Jeremiah as the Lord of righteousness. He is the one who has the power and the authority to set us free. And now we continue in our discovery of that very thing with our reading from the New Testament.
Colossians chapter 1 verses 10 to 20. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
What a wonderful thing it is to know that God is reconciling the world to him through the person of Jesus Christ. And if you are someone who is walking with the Lord, you are someone who knows God as your Savior, then you are someone who is reconciled. Now for a moment, I'm just going to continue where I left off last week in regard to considering who God is, considering who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And we know he is God, but what impact does him being Lord mean to you? Well, the only way that we're going to understand that is through the definition, the understanding of who he is. And as we explore scripture, we discover who he is and the impact then that that will make upon us. So, who is the Lord? What does he do? Well, here's one of the things. The Lord will give you the desires of your heart if you delight in him. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. The Lord will not leave the righteous in the power of the wicked, or let them be condemned when brought to trial. The Lord saves the righteous. The Lord is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps and delivers the righteous. The Lord delivers the righteous from the wicked and saves them. Why? Because the righteous take refuge in him. And the point is, why wouldn't you go and take refuge in the Lord when you consider the things that we have just been stating there? All of those statements come from Psalm 37. And as you go through scripture, I would encourage you, as you read the Bible, look out for what it is that God as our Father means and what the word Lord means. What are the things that come after each of those names? Because it is only when we understand the biblical definitions of who God is as our Father and who Jesus Christ is as our Lord will we really get a true picture of who it is that is our Father and who it is that is Lord of our life. So I would encourage you, as you read your Bible, to go and explore those things. If you don't read the Bible, then I would encourage you to read your Bible. Pull out a Bible and start to truly discover what the Bible says and who the Bible says God is and Jesus is. Don't just take my word for it. Don't take the word of what we think or hear around about. But really focus in, listen to who it is. Our last hymn here now in this section is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which was based on Psalm 46, which we were looking at earlier on. Can you say that God is your mighty fortress? Can you say that he is your stronghold in times of trouble? My prayer is that you can. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. Today we've been looking at the lectionary readings, various bits and pieces, and now as Reverend Rosemary has been reading those lectionary readings for us over the course of the show, she comes to the last reading now and then is sharing her reflection with us on how all of these tie in together. And so at this point, it's time for me to bid you adieu and leave you in the capable hands of Reverend Rosemary as she comes and shares with us. So thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you till next week.
Luke 23, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise." This Sunday, November the 20th, which is the Sunday before Advent and is often known as Christ the King Sunday, crown, cross, and coming. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. This is the end of the church year, and things have come the full circle. Last December, we began the Advent season with prophecies and promises telling of God's plans to save his people. At Christmas, we celebrated the coming of the promised Messiah as a baby, recognized not by the theologians and religious leaders of the day, but by the lowest ranking in Jewish society and by foreign travelers. The church year follows Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, his teaching, his miracles. And then today's readings draw all together. This baby who became the humble yet authoritative man whom so many found it hard to figure out, has come into his kingdom, and we give him glory. The image of the unseen God, as it says in Colossians. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. His is the authority prophesied by Jeremiah. He is the one sent to replace the irresponsible shepherds who neglected God's people. He is the righteous branch from the family of King David, whose line God promised would last forever. He is the supreme creator and the head of the church. Although too often in the church, we try to solve problems by applying human measures or give up because we can't see a solution, rather than handing over the problems to the God whose wisdom and vision and power are greater than ours. But our gospel reading reminds us that Jesus wears not only the royal diadem, but also the crown of thorns. Before returning to the glory he had with the Father before time began, he had first to suffer if he was to bring his mission on earth to completion. He suffers the pain of the cross, but still has the authority to promise paradise to the thief on the cross beside him. The last person to recognize him for who he is before his death. And as the year rolls round again to Advent, and again we prepare to celebrate Jesus' coming, we also look forward to his promised coming again in glory as King of Kings. Whenever that day comes, and who knows, it could be in our lifetime, may we be ready to meet him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as I consider the meaning of your life and sacrificial death, and what it cost you to come into your kingdom, dying so that we might live, all I can do is bow before you in humble praise and worship. Amen.